Nighttime. Orange lights glow through a hazy fog. A cargo ship emerges, churning through an ocean. Two men sip from steaming mugs on the deck. Subtitles appear. It is nice to be able to sail with the lights on without worrying about a U-boat. But don't you miss the excitement? The ship tilts back and forth, sending the deckhand sliding into the railings. A crate breaks through the barrier and falls overboard. A giant spiked tentacle rises from the water. The deckhands crawl away. More tentacles appear. A bearded sailor notices the monster, then hurries into a telegraph office. It is the Kraken. We are going to die. The Kraken. The ship quakes. Fade to black. Underwater, symbols of the Atlantean alphabet transform into an English title. Disney's Atlantis, Milo's Return.
8,000 years ago, Atlantis sank beneath the ocean. The great crystal, the source of its power, was hidden beneath the city. Robbed of the heart of Atlantis, my people seemed doomed to slow extinction. But now we are reborn!
Her white hair flowing in the breeze, Kida rides a flying, fish-shaped craft through an underground cavern. Whale-like creatures with six arms swim through a river of lava beneath her. Small versions of the animals with beaver-like tails leap playfully from the molten rock. One of the smaller creatures climbs onto a ledge and shakes off.
Abby, hurry! We must get back to the throne room!
The creature hops onto Kida's craft. The tattooed queen steers the craft up through mist surrounding a waterfall. She emerges at the top, passing colossal stone statues. A giant glowing crystal hovers above an island city's highest tower.
Once again, the heart of Atlantis shines upon us, healing us, making us strong. We are using the power of the crystal to rebuild our city and to restore our culture to greatness.
A worker uses a crystal to magically repair a statue's nose. A blue glow outlines the statue's features.
Under the light of the great crystal, my people are thriving again. We have uncovered secrets lost for thousands of years. The city is once again a center of knowledge and learning, instead of a place of ignorance and fear.
Men wave to Kida.
Good day, and be careful!
She rides her fish flyer to the hovering crystal. Stones with stylized faces rotate in the air around it.
My father thought it better to hide the crystal rather than risk the misuse of its power. As queen, I can only hope I am doing the right thing.
Kissing her palm, Kida touches one of the stones, then gazes up at its face. In a throne room, water pours from the hollow eyes of a stone head. Riding fish flyers, Atlanteans use ropes to lift it from a lake. They place the head atop a matching torso. Milo looks on, then turns and smiles at Kida and Abby, who stand at the door.
How fitting! The old king need never shed tears again.
Abby tackles Milo and licks him.
Abby! All right, come on, show a little respect.
I never thought the rebuilding of Atlantis would move so quickly.
I think we only understand a fraction of what the crystal can teach us.
Well, I know that none of it would be possible without you.
They hug. Abby begs.
Okay, one rock.
Milo pulls out a stone and Abby snatches it with a frog-like tongue.
You know, you're getting to look like one chubby lava dog.
Abby bares his teeth.
What is it, Abby? What is wrong?
Queen Kida!
Guards rush in.
There are intruders approaching the city!
Milo and Kida hurry outside. Using binoculars, he looks off.
They're coming through the lava tubes. Where is the patrol captain? I want them met with flyers.
Wait! They're not intruders! They're friends!
Seated in a two-person plane with helicopter blades and a large propeller on the back, Mole gapes excitedly.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing what a little pain in his back will do.
Atlanteans look on as four identical planes approach. The planes land, and Audrey climbs out. Milo rushes over.
Audrey, what are you guys doing here?
Just making sure you aren't making a mess of things down here.
Come here. That, two for flinching.
Villagers offer Lays.
Why, thank you. I hope my hay fever didn't kick up.
Hello. So, who wants to show me around the city?
Oh, let me. I will do it. No, I saw her first.
Oh, no, me.
Boys, boys, you're both pretty. We'll all go.
They follow Packard. Women give a flower lay to Mole.
Oh, mademoiselle.
He whispers to them. They glare at him.
Jeez, I missed you guys. But why are you here? Is Mr. Whitmore okay?
Why don't you ask him yourself, Milo?
Mr. Whitmore!
Not only am I okay, but this crystal of yours makes me feel 20 years younger.
Whitmore leaps from a plane.
Of course, that still leaves me pretty old. And this must be Princess Kida. Although, I guess, it'd be Queen Kida now.
And you must be Mr. Whitmore. Thank you. You brought Milo to me and made all this possible.
Mole lands at their feet, then gets dragged off by three Atlantean women.
Come, let us go inside where you can have something to eat.
I guess your decision to stay here wasn't as hard as I thought.
Save my life!
Later, the group dines together on a patio. Guards stand nearby.
You must try some of this.
It's great.
Cookie holds up a condiment bottle.
Pepper sauce. Never leave home with that. Puts a little giddy up in every meal. Also, makes a fine paint remover.
Sweet. I think this food just moved.
Well, then you better eat it quick, before it gets away. Besides, when it's alive, you don't have to swallow so hard. Just point them head first so they know which way to crawl.
Sweet eats a worm.
Your grandfather would be proud of you, Milo. You not only discovered a lost empire, you probably saved the world from Rourke's plans for the crystal. And now you're helping restore Atlantis to its former glory. That's quite a resume for a cartographer.
I just wish he could be here to see all this, and to meet Kida.
Milo and Kida gaze into each other's eyes, then notice the group staring.
Well, it's great to see everybody together again, but something tells me it's not just for a little reunion.
I'm afraid you're right. There's trouble on the surface. Already had my doctor, digger, demolition expert, mechanic, each the top of their field. But I came here for the one expert I didn't have. An expert on Atlantis.
But why would you need a...
Several cargo ships have gone down in the North Atlantic. The survivors say it was a sea monster.
We thought it might be the watchdog at your front door.
The Leviathan?
Right, that's one big sea monster. In the water, that's the last thing you want to see. Except maybe my Aunt Rose in a swimsuit. Sweet woman, but a very large bond.
I'm glad it knew we were friends this time.
But there could be others out there. My father had many such machines created. He used the magic and science of the crystal to expand the borders of Atlantis. That war nearly destroyed the world.
Well, it looks like his war may not be over.
Kida dons a serious expression.
Then Milo and I will go with you to the surface and end it.
Kida, you can't. I mean, you're the queen.
The city repairs are well underway. The counselors can handle the everyday matters. And I feel responsible for what my father did. I want to understand his decision. And I am afraid the answers are not in Atlantis.
On a ship's deck, Milo and Kida walk together.
Ugh, I feel bad. You finally get to the surface, and it's so cloudy, there's nothing to see.
Everything in your world is new to me. The sky, the clouds, everything on this ship. What is this?
That's a life preserver.
So you wear it, and it preserves your life? Like our crystals?
No. You throw it to someone in the water.
Oh, so it is a game.
No, you only throw it if someone is drowning.
Does that not make it hard for them to play the game?
In a large room, Vinny stands idly by as Audrey works.
2 weeks with crisscross to the North Sea and got nothing. No squids, no jellyfish, and no lobster from Atlantis.
We have to be sure, Vinny.
What if raising the crystal brought this Leviathan to life? This could all be the fault of Atlantis.
I'd worry more about how we fight it than who is to blame. Last time we shot at the Leviathan, these things didn't even tickle it.
Audrey, if you keep hitting that thing, we're gonna be tickled all over these walls.
Yeah, like I don't know that.
Well, careful. Doc Sweet's not here to glue us back together. This time it's my special blend. I start with a batter of gelatinous nitroglycerin, dribble it on a shaped charge of a TNT, and top it with just dusting of black powder and oregano. You can't make a bomb without oregano. It makes a very nice boom. Let the lobster chew on that.
You know, I really don't think it is a Leviathan. The survivor called it the Kraken, a legendary Norwegian sea monster with arms a quarter mile long. Nothing like what we saw in Atlantis.
But Atlantean inventors always based their designs on real animals, like the giant squid. It may not be a Leviathan, but it could still be an Atlantean war machine.
She's right. No creature of flesh and blood can bring down a steel cargo ship.
The vessel quakes.
Something's got the ship!
It's ripping open the launch doors!
Mole dives for his fallen food.
My cheese!
It rolls into a pool leading to the ocean, and a giant tentacle rises up.
You can have it.
Get to the sub pods! Vinny, we're gonna need that thing out of the way.
Coming up, extra oregano.
Vinny tosses a grenade into the pool. The tentacle thrashes wildly, then retreats.
Watch when ready!
They enter sub pods.
Next time, chili powder.
Ramps rise up beneath the individual bullet-shaped submarines adorned with missiles. As the craft slide into the water, one fails to launch.
That doesn't sound good!
The ramp tips over and the ejector launches Milo, Kida, and Abby into parked trucks. The pod slides into the pool.
It's pulling her down on the starboard side!
Where's Milo and Kida? I didn't see them launch! Milo! Are you there? Kida?
The pod sinks into darkness.
Come on, back up batteries! Time to back up!
Pick up my back while I look for Milo!
This is Milo. We're on backup batteries, sinking fast, no propulsion. We have a major leak.
Leaks!
And the viewport is cracking!
Abby bites a leak.
If the ballast valves aren't locked, you can flush the water by rerouting the pressure tubes and...
Audrey, we are up to our rear ends in water. It's no time for how-to books!
Okay, we're coming! Jeez.
Well, you better hurry, because... we're about to hit an undersea mountain!
A giant mouth with jagged teeth opens.
That is not a mountain.
Audrey!
Got you covered, Milo.
Two of the pods arrive, firing missiles at the creature. The shockwave sends Milo's pod spinning out of control. The others scoop it up.
Watch your right dive plane!
No problem.
Where's the Kraken?
It has disappeared!
At least it was not Atlantean.
Somehow, that doesn't make me feel any safer.
On the ship, the captain uses a radio.
The creature buckled hull plates fore and aft. We'll be lucky to get to the port for repairs. I'll send a launch for you.
Don't worry about us, Captain. Just take care of the Atlantean. There's a fishing village to the northeast. We'll be there when you finish repairs.
Milo helps Audrey off his sub pod as it sinks.
Whoa, that's your sub pod. That's not coming out of my paycheck.
Okay, let's get to shore as soon as we can.
What's the matter, Vinny? Afraid to play patty cake with the sea monster?
You know, I don't mind a little patty cake, but I really don't want to be here when the bombs on that sub pod hit bottom.
On a distant cliff, a stern-faced man watches the research ship sail off. Mole anchors the sub pods to an island shore.
I guess fishing hasn't been too good lately, eh?
That is not surprising. No doubt that tentacle demon devoured the local fish stocks long ago.
Then why is it still here?
Because it doesn't eat fish anymore.
Maybe that's why they built the village on the cliffs. You don't want that thing showing up for dinner.
Shutters close as they enter a village.
Not real friendly, are they?
Ugh, what is that smell? It's like rotting fish.
Why do you accuse such a thing? I have bathed recently. No appreciation for fan cologne.
Easy, Mole. She's upwind of you. I'd say it's more likely we're smelling all this mildew. Everything is wet from the fog.
But you do need a bath.
A sign shows a kraken.
Look at that.
It fights a ship.
Interesting way of attracting tourists.
Milo,
We got company.
The stern-faced man arrives with two wide-eyed men.
I am Edgar Volgood, the magistrate of this town. What is your business here?
Nice to meet you. My name is Milo Thatch.
I doubt there is anything in Krakenstad that concerns you.
And what about your town pet that nearly sank our ship?
Volgood remains unfazed.
Your ship will be repaired in the shipyards of Trondheim. You should leave soon. The roads are treacherous after dark.
I'm sure they can start repairs without us. We thought we'd stick around a while and enjoy the scenery.
Trondheim has excellent views.
All the same, we'll stay.
Miss Eliason is the innkeeper here. She'll give you rooms for the night. A driver will take you to Trondheim tomorrow.
Volgood leaves.
I've seen that fella before someplace. I think under a rock. He reminds me of a leech or a worm, a kind of a salamander-ish.
Abby, no!
Entering the inn, the lava dog curls up in the blazing fireplace.
He was born in molten rock.
Wasn't Volgood a statue guy?
That would make him even older than he looks, which I gotta say is pretty darn old.
They say he made a deal with the devil to live forever, but forgot to ask for eternal youth. This will drive the fog from your bones.
A wide-eyed woman serves drinks.
Thank you, Miss Eliason.
Inger, there is a darkness around Edgar Volgood, and that shadow has dimmed all that was happy here. We would leave, but this inn is all we have. It is no place for me to rest, my little one. Things will not change here until its power is broken.
You mean Volgood's?
Or the sea monsters?
I will prepare rooms for you.
Inger heads upstairs.
But do not cross Edgar Volgood, and leave as soon as you can.
They gotta work on their tourist industry.
Outside, Volgood carries a lantern past the mildew-covered statue of himself. Milo and his friends pop out from behind the statue.
Come on, just follow his lantern.
They move single file through the thick fog.
Where is that coming from?
What is it?
It is not of this earth.
No, that's a bird. A very big, goony bird. Or a puffin. With a very upset stomach.
No, it's voices. I can't make out what they're...
Where's Volko?
His light is gone.
We could be walking in circles. We'd better head back to the village.
And which way would that be?
Our view circles Milo, who spots distant hovering lights.
Over there. Head for the lights, before the fog closes in again.
The group disappears in the haze.
Just a moment. Let's enter the cavern.
Not now, Mol.
But this is decomposed planet, which would mean we are headed for the cliff.
They all drop off a cliff. As they slide down the rock face, Mol uses pickaxes to stop his descent. The others land on his head. Audrey slides past them. She lands on a ledge.
I'm okay.
Her feet slip a little, but she holds herself up.
For now.
Be careful, Milo.
I'm climbing down to you, Audrey. Stay where you are.
And here I was, all set to take a walk.
Audrey slips.
Audrey? Keep talking to me.
I said thank you very much for leading us off a cliff.
Hey, I was heading toward the village.
The lights vanish.
Lights? I guess there's more going on here than sea monsters.
Oh, great. Somebody's doing hocus pocus. I hate hocus pocus.
Milo extends his hand to Audrey.
I can't reach. I'll have to jump.
Don't jump. I'll climb down.
There's no room. I have to jump.
Audrey, I'm the team leader, and I order you not to jump.
Oh, that's it.
Audrey lurches upward, and Milo grabs her. Her hand slips from its glove, and she falls. Mole catches her.
You see, you cannot live without me.
At the inn, Inger sets a table. Volgood startles her.
Gather the possessions of the strangers and burn them.
What's the matter, Volgood? You think we've got fleas?
Gee, you seem surprised to see us.
Volgud leaves.
Definitely worm or leech. Salamanders are too cute.
We'd like to hear more about Volgud's deal with the devil.
It is an old wives' story. A folk tale. Nothing more.
Inger, we want to help. Lives have been taken at sea. And I suspect in this town.
I would love to let my little one play outside again. Long ago, the fish left the sea. The town was in danger of dying. A bargain was struck. The souls of the people for the life of the town.
Sometimes known as the devil fish.
The town is provided for, but no one can leave. And the sun has not shone since.
Folklore or not, there is a connection between the Kraken and this town.
Volgud hands out food and supplies from somewhere. Maybe a hidden cave?
I could search. Would make a very nice boom.
The answer is staring at you right in the face. Regard how an igneous boulder has been futilely disguised as sedimentary rock. They might as well paint a roadside.
Mole finds a lever behind a boulder and pulls it. A tunnel opens.
They look exactly the same to me.
Yeah, but you weren't raised by naked mole rats.
That would explain so much.
In an underground cavern, burly, wide-eyed villagers stack crates beside a shoreline. Milo and his friends spy on the men from behind the boxes.
This is all from the sunken freighter.
Kida peers over a crate.
There's Volgud.
The old man stands on the shoreline facing the water. As a breeze ruffles his beard and hair, his eyes glow yellow. Bubbles form on the water's surface. Abby takes a fearful step back. Five giant tentacles rise out of the water. One places crates on the shoreline. As the tentacle slithers back toward the water, it smooths Volgud's beard.
Volgud is controlling the Kraken.
How? Table scraps and a rolled-up newspaper?
He's not using table scraps.
It's some sort of mental power. Look at the workers. They look hypnotized.
Audrey's eyes widen.
I think he uses that power to enslave the creature, telling it what ships to attack. If we can rattle Volgud's concentration, he'll lose control over the Kraken.
Tickling will be good. Nobody can concentrate when they're being tickled. Or a bomb. A bomb is a very good distraction.
Wait, where's Audrey?
Abby points. Mole spots Audrey wading into the water. She stops, and a circling view reveals her glowing yellow eyes. Giant tentacles rise before her. One snakes over the water and curls around her body. His eyes still glowing, Volgud looks on and smiles. Milo rushes forward.
Get Audrey! I'll distract him!
As the others scramble, Milo tackles Volgud.
What? But he's unconscious! It should go away!
Audrey!
As the tentacle lifts Audrey, another hits Mole and Vinny. A burly worker holds Milo down. As Abby startles him, Milo kicks the worker off. Kida skillfully rides a squirming tentacle to Audrey. She grabs her arm, but gets thrown away.
Okay, now we try plan B. Plan bomb.
Vinny holds dynamite.
No, no, that's a creature! That's a ceiling!
How about picking the target before I light the dynamite, huh?
Vinny throws the lit stick of dynamite at a crack in the cavern ceiling. Rocks and debris rain down on the tentacles, knocking Audrey free. She lands in the shallow water, and Kida carries her to Milo and the others.
Get to the sub pods! We have to stop the Kraken from getting out!
The tentacles sink back down. Mole leads the group to the cavern door. Hypnotized villagers block their path.
Out of our way, barbarians!
Mole charges, bowling them all over. The group escapes as Volgud wakes up. The three remaining subpods surge brightly through the dark water. Their spinning rear propellers leave a trail of bubbles as they skim along the ocean floor, churning up sand.
Talk to me, Mole! We gotta find that cave exit!
Our best chance to trap the Kraken is to seal him inside.
Audrey's pod pulls beside Milo's window.
Audrey, you doing all right?
Yeah, now. It was creepy.
All cold and slimy. Everything faded away like I was drowning.
A tentacle appears in Vinny's glowing eye.
Hey, pay attention.
He shakes it off.
It is too dark to see. Fire the magnesium flares.
What are you doing? We want to sneak up on... Jiminy Christmas! It's already out!
The bright flare shines on the massive fish-faced creature. One pod escapes its bite.
No, stay clear of the tentacles!
No kidding.
I'm gonna take a shot!
Audrey charges her sub-pod ahead. Swerving around the grabbing tentacles, she fires two of the torpedo-like bombs. The bombs travel wide and explode against a seawall. Her pod spirals to safety.
It's no good! Can't line up a decent shot.
We're on him. Open wide. It's chow time.
A tentacle hits Milo's pod.
What are you waiting for? Fire the thing!
Vinny's eyes glow. He fires a bomb at Audrey's pod. She narrowly dodges it.
Jeez!
Tell him to watch his aim. He almost hit Aud... Look out!
Vinny fires a bomb at Milo's pod. Milo fires back and the bombs hit each other and explode.
Shoot at this squid, not us!
Vincent has gone mad! His mind is a blank!
But Volgood!
It's not Volgood. It's the Kraken!
The creature's many eyes glow.
Of course! The Kraken is the one with the mind powers!
It is okay! I have distracted him.
Watch out! Monster on the move!
The pods race along through a trench. The Kraken swims after them, its giant, gaping maw open behind them. In Mole's pod, Vinny shakes his head, his eyes now clear.
Oh, that was really strange.
Craggy undersea cliffs rush by both sides of the subpods. They emerge from a deep hole, narrowly dodging the Kraken's bite. It speeds after them, with tentacles trailing behind. Audrey notices a single bomb left on her subpod's wing.
As am I!
Head back to the beach! We've gotta get on dry land!
They pass a subpod on the sea floor.
No.
Vinny turns his pod around.
Are you crazy? You're heading right at it!
I will distract him again! Ah! I'm blinded!
It's Milo's subpod.
It's got a full load of torpedoes. We can blow them all at once.
Let's do it!
The subpods line up together and jet toward the wriggling sea monster. The last torpedo launches from each pod. They converge under the Kraken. The subpods tumble back from the force of the blast. Volgood writhes and blue energy curls over his face. More blue energy travels along the Kraken's body and it disappears. Only dust remains within Volgood's clothing.
You know, I think Mr. Squid was a little bit hocus-pocus himself.
On a sunny day, ropes pull down the Volgood statue. A burly worker shakes his head at it. Women happily stroll the brightly painted village. On the beach, villagers repaint boats and fix nets. A boy chases Abby along the shoreline.
Oh yeah, you won't find the Kraken in any biology book.
The curse is lifted, the fish are back, and the mildew has been scrubbed away.
So, if something stinks now,
What? Why you do this with your hand? It is the fish!
For 8,000 years, I have lived with the same faces. It is strange to meet new people. And each new person has new thoughts, new ideas. Your world has much to offer. I hope one day my people, the people of Atlantis, can offer as much.
There's no reason they can't. Your people can make a difference to the world, like we did here. Now that there's no Kraken, it's left to people like Inger Eliasson to raise their little ones in peace.
We can never thank them enough. Now you can grow big and strong, and someday be the most important person in town. Now give Mama a big hug.
Inger carries her baby away. Inside a snow-covered mansion, brown goop falls into a bowl.
Please tell me that's not the same stuff you fed us on the way to Atlantis.
Bet your sweet eyes it is. Now, I told you, it would keep... and keep and keep. And now it's yours to eat and eat and eat.
That's right, Margie. They showed me all around the city. Yeah, it broke their hearts, but I need my space. Kiamat was too clingy.
Mole feeds Abby a rock.
Careful, Mole. Abino bedsugs aren't used to such a variety in their diet.
It's only a few assorted silicates I've been meaning to get rid of.
He eats one of them.
Oh, it's good for the gums.
Milo looks around the dining table.
Hey, where's Kida?
The queen sits on a windowsill. Ravens fly off as she gazes at the snowy landscape.
It's even more beautiful when the snow melts.
This time there was no Leviathan. But how do we know there are not other Atlantean weapons out there?
Not looking at the scenery, huh?
Maybe the crystal's too powerful. Maybe it should remain buried.
But your people, they've regained so much. Could you put them in darkness again?
At the dining table, Packard listens to a radio headset.
What are the chances of another gas leak in a Chinese laundry? So, that's my last flower shop. But I'm thinking about buying laundry.
Cookie sets bowls in front of Audrey and Vinny. They pass them to Abby, who eats them, bowls and all. Kida returns. Whitmore sits at the head of the table.
So, I guess now that we know there's no Leviathan on the loose...
Excuse me.
You two be heading back home to Atlantis.
Excuse me.
It's laundry slash fireworks.
But don't be in such a rush. Take some time to see the world. Plane fare is on me.
That's very generous, Mr. Whitmore.
May I have your attention, please? That's better. It's Dr. Sweet. There's trouble in the southwest.
In the Saguaro City Medical Clinic.
Sam's a longtime field agent of Mr. Whitmore's. He's best at digging up hard-to-find objects. Only this time, I think something found him.
And you say he mentioned killer coyotes in a sandstorm?
No, not exactly. More like a sandstorm made up of killer coyotes who were made up of sand.
And this is unusual in your world.
Oh, yes. More than a little bit.
But I do not understand why you wanted me here.
Because of this.
Sweet pulls out an amulet with Atlantean symbols.
Milo, it is Atlantean.
Yeah, where did you find this?
You'll have to ask Sam.
I can't tell if he's breathing.
Perhaps he is dead.
Oh, he's just sleeping. After what he's been through, I'm sure he can use the rest.
Get away, you furry cactus rats!
It's all right, Mr. McKean. You're safe now. Mr. Whitmore sent us.
Oh, good old Preston. Best man I ever scavenged for. Here, say, young fella, could you fluff up my pillow? Now, how about a sip of water? My gullet's awful dry.
Kida offers the completely bandaged man a glass. He sips through a straw.
What's wrong?
Got a little sleepy in my foot. Would you mind giving it a rub?
Ew!
And you say coyotes did this to you?
No, t'weren't no ordinary coyotes. These was cantankerous sand coyotes. T'weren't a lick of wind all day, but I sure heard it howling up on the mesas that night.
Smoky canines appear.
I thought I was loco when I saw them dust devils materializing in moonlight. Their red eyes like to burn a hole right through my soul. Came screaming off that ridge like a pack of ghosts. I ran back to my shack and bolted the door. I figured I'd be safe if I stayed inside. I was wrong. Scratched me up like a two sizes too small wool sweater on a hot afternoon. Luckily, I had plenty of bacon grease to rub all over my hide to ease the chafing.
Dinner time.
A nurse enters.
Mr. McKean, what have we told you about the bacon grease?
Works better than any of your darn fool fix-em-ups. I stood a better chance with them coyotes.
Is he going to be all right?
Oh, yes. We're moving him to the hospital in Scottsdale, where he'll be their problem.
So, where did you find this?
In a pot.
What pot?
He munches a drumstick.
In the crate.
What crate?
In my shack.
What shack?
In the desert.
Not surprised this is where he lives. You saw the man eat, right? Lives like he eats. Sloppy.
Maid's day off, huh?
In the sand-filled shack, Mole tastes the dust.
Quartz silicate mixed with local clay. slightly nutty to the taste. Nothing unusual.
Sand isn't the only thing here that's nutty.
Everything seems to have been rubbed smooth. Even the windows are etched. From the sand?
McKean said they were sand coyotes. I see lots of sand. No coyotes. No paw prints either.
Looks like the crates.
Missing? Dang, blame it! I know just what varmint done took it, too. It'd be that shifty-eyed, backstabbing rattlesnake Ashton Carnaby. He runs a trading post outside of town. You best be careful. He's slicker than a sweaty toad in a rainstorm.
Let's look around a little first. We don't know for certain that this Carnaby guy took Sam's crate.
At the Carnaby Ranch trading post, Abby tackles Milo and licks him. A tourist aims a camera at Abby. He eats the device.
He's a Brazilian iguana. Eats just about anything. Trust me.
Inside, the group browses the southwestern merchandise.
There are pieces here that are hundreds of years old.
Oh, look, an antique. How are people to use these things if they're locked behind glass?
It's for protection.
I know what the spear is for, but why is it in a glass case?
Now, the glass case is for protection.
Wouldn't the spear be better protection than a glass case?
Yes. No. It's there to protect from someone who might want to steal it.
Kida blinks.
Why would someone want to steal a glass case?
Calcified limestone, more than 25 million years old, from the Cenozoic era. Hydrated aluminum silicates with basalt, found primarily in the southern Colorado River Basin.
Mole tastes another souvenir.
Plastic.
He tosses the bowl. Abby eats it. Kida lifts a statue with Atlantean-like markings.
Milo, it's just like an Atlantean guardian.
Well, not exactly. It's been modified by Nishoni design.
Either way, I am buying it.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. Because I want to sell it. The name's Carnaby. Now that painting's of Crystal Guardian, who crawled from the earth with weapons of blue fire. He was a great teacher and healer of the sick. Or so the legend goes.
How much is it?
Well, that's a museum class piece.
I bet there's a museum class price to go with it, too.
It is rare, and I've had offers.
Is this enough?
Kida, that's a lot.
So, one Crystal Guardian.
So, Mr. Carnaby, where exactly do you get all of your artifacts?
Well, here and there. But the older pieces are 100% authentic, I assure you.
Well, I don't doubt that.
Well, we're looking for a crate that may have been taken from Sam McKean.
Who are you people?
We're associates of Sam McKean, and he's asked us to help locate the missing crate.
Can't help you. McKean has a tendency to tell stories. I think he gets lonely out there in the desert.
So you don't know anything about it?
If McKean lost a crate of pottery, that's not my problem. What in the Red Rock River Valley are you doing?
Sampling the bowl. It is very nice. Would you like some?
Carnaby locks them out.
Well, that could have gone better.
In a truck.
Does it strike anybody as odd that Carnaby knows the missing crate contains pottery? Because I never mentioned what was in it.
You are right.
I don't trust that Carnaby. Don't like him one bit. Didn't like his attitude, didn't like his shifty little eyes. Eyes are the windows to the soul, you know.
They pass a Native American man.
How would you like to gaze into the windows of my soul?
Kida pushes Mole away.
Hey, didn't we just pass that guy?
The man vanishes in their dusty exhaust.
Perhaps they are brothers?
Audrey slams on the brakes. The man stands in the road.
Twice is a coincidence, but three times? I think someone's trying to tell us something.
Hello. Can we offer you a ride? It's a long walk to anywhere.
My name is Chikashi, and yes, a ride would be welcome.
Chikashi looks at the lava dog in the back.
Oh, he's Brazilian.
I'm familiar with all nature's creatures. This one is also known to me.
He feeds Abby a rock.
You wouldn't happen to have a twin, or two, would you?
There are many Noshoni men who walk alone in the desert, and we look all the same to the eyes of outsiders. Ah, Crystal Guardian, our great teacher and protector. He revealed many secrets to the Noshoni. The path of the stars, the time to plant, how to heal themselves. And like Crystal Guardian, we will also protect our sacred beliefs from outsiders. Those who would plunder our lands to betray our secrets will answer to the ancient forces of the desert.
The smoky canines swirl to life on clifftops above the passing truck. Red eyes glow within their translucent forms. One coyote-like spirit bounds down the cliffside, leaving a dusty trail. Others follow. They merge into a churning mass that follows the truck.
A sandstorm? Where did that come from?
From his seat in the back, Mole looks out of the truck.
We are followed!
The cloud overtakes them and jostles the truck. Shikashi's eyes glow red.
There are ancient powers that will make certain our secrets are kept. And you, more than anyone, should understand this.
They're trying to drive us off the road!
The canines ram the truck. One shatters the windshield.
I just put in that windshield!
He's gone!
How? Where could he go?
People, we got bigger problems! They're in here with us!
Dusty spirits seep in through vents.
No, this doggy's going!
The truck skids off the road. Later, Audrey works on the half-buried truck's engine.
Ugh, this is just great! The intake's got a 30 torque tolerance that's been blown and the combustion valves need a new ring slip.
I didn't quite get all that.
I build these engines from a scratch. I fend off lava dogs who eat the distributor caps. And nobody told me I would have to deal with dust storm coyotes. If they got sand in the manifold, I quit.
Did you get it all that time?
Every word.
Mole spots a fence.
We have returned.
We are back at the trading post.
Shikashi said there were ancient forces at work. Make a note to stay on their good side.
Better yet, no more picking up hitchhikers.
Outside the trading post, Carnaby hides a crate in a truck. Milo's group arrives.
Hey, I told you people to leave.
We have a couple of questions.
I've already answered your questions.
As Carnaby bats Maul away, Abby snarls.
Pettiguana, eats anything, meaning you might be on the menu.
Abby licks Carnaby's boot.
How do you know that the missing crate contains pottery?
I don't.
And what do you know about an old man who calls himself Shikashi?
I know I got a shelf full of painted rocks of him inside.
Of course! Shikashi, the Nishoni wind spirit.
We gave a ride to a spirit?
You can't really believe in that superstition.
Well, we were just attacked by a pack of phantom coyotes in a sandstorm.
The same restless spirits that came after Sam McKeon.
And whoever has that crate of pottery.
Save it. I'm not superstitious.
Mole sniffs the tarp-covered crate.
I smell old pottery.
You had the crate all along.
Voila.
It's rubbed smooth, just like the inside of McKeon's shack.
Well, there's no way you could prove it.
Sandstone, heavy red oxides, basalt encrusted with the same silicate found in McKeon's shack.
As Mole inspects a pot, the others frown at Carnaby.
Well, so what? McKeon found it in the desert, and then while he was in the hospital, I found it in his shack.
That is called stealing.
That's called commerce, honey. Besides, McKeon's the only one who knows the location of where the pot came from.
Judging from the high alkaline content, I would say it came from a cave on the south face of the Mogollon Rim, 15 miles north of here.
Mm-hmm. He's good. Dirty, but good.
Mole hands over the pot.
Well, you know, maybe I didn't take things seriously enough. There are a lot of old tales and mysteries out here in the desert, and the coyotes you encountered are a good example.
I thought you didn't believe.
Well, I sure don't want to end up like McKeon. So, maybe if the pot's returned, that'll settle these restless spirits.
Mole leads Milo's group through the desert. He takes a handful of sand and tastes it. Mole licks his lips, then points. The others follow him up a steep incline. Carnaby pauses, holding a large satchel. He flinches as Abby runs past him. High on a thin butte, the spirit cloud churns within a crevice. Shikashi steps out from within, bearing an angry scowl and glowing red eyes. He watches the group pass far below. Mole struggles up to a ledge.
Get down, Mole! I have done it! I have found a subterranean gateway that is the buried threshold to the unknown!
Audrey climbs up behind him.
It's just a hole.
A hole? There! Look at the lines in the basalt, the beauty of the ocean, the poetry of the clay. This is not a hole, it is a tunnel.
Well, I don't care what you call it. Just tell me it's big enough to hide in, because we got company.
The storm of canine spirits rolls over a distant mesa. The cloudy sand travels over the desert floor and surges up to the ledge. Pairs of red eyes appear in the cloud.
Inside, quick!
As Audrey and Mole run for the tunnel opening, a gust of wind blows over a tree. Dr. Sweet pulls them back as the tree falls, blocking the tunnel. Mole digs a new pathway. They follow him into the tunnel. Mole burrows out of the roof of the cavern and the group falls from the ceiling. Kita looks up, rubbing her head.
Milo!
Milo adjusts his glasses. An ancient city looms around them.
Holy cats! None of this should exist! Not in the same place! It's a blending of every culture from Idaho to Peru. Shawnee, Aztec, Mayan, Olmec.
My people were here.
Kita climbs a ladder onto a square adobe building. Milo shrugs to the others. He follows Kita up to find her staring at a massive guardian statue.
Oh. Crystal Guardian was an Atlantean. His teaching influenced all these cultures.
A little bit of Atlantis goes a long way.
Carnaby, that old pot can fit on any of those ledges. Carnaby?
Smoke surrounds them.
What is that?
Sorry, it was me. Hold on, that was not me.
Carnaby!
Oh, about the pot. It looks like I'm going to be keeping it, along with everything else in here. That homemade prairie grass mixture makes a good sleeping gas. Wouldn't you agree?
Carnaby, you snake!
Wearing a gas mask, Carnaby tosses a smoking pot. Abby and the others pass out.
Naturally, I can't let you go free to tell the world about my discovery. I mean, where's the profit in that?
Milo wakes.
What?
Carnaby!
Nice nap. Hope the rocks weren't too uncomfortable.
Oh, no, this particular aggregate is very nice. One of my favorites.
Tied up, Kita strains.
You will not get away with this.
Let's see. I trap you and your friends in this cave, and then I take all the treasure for myself. I think I'll get away with it. I knew there was something shifty about you. Didn't I say so? I said, I don't trust that Carnaby. Don't like him one bit. Don't like his attitude. Don't like his shifty little eyes.
And don't forget, the eyes are the windows to the soul.
That's right. I said that too.
Well, you and your friends will have a long time to discuss how you feel about me while I'm getting rich.
He carries dynamite out.
We have found evidence of my people here. We cannot let him destroy it.
Mr. Carnaby, obviously we've had some sort of miscommunication here. I don't see any reason why we can't work something out.
Save your breath, Junior. You're gonna need it.
He leaves the lit bundle on the cave opening.
Happy trails.
Audrey struggles against her bindings.
It's no use.
If there was only some way to cut these ropes.
Abby!
Abby, come on, boy. Wake up! Wake up!
The lava dog opens his eyes and sees Milo's face next to his. He licks Milo happily.
Okay, enough!
Abby notices his bindings. He snaps them easily and prances around.
Get the ropes! The ropes!
Abby bites through Milo's bindings.
Good boy!
No! Take care of the dynamite first!
No, you're right!
Milo runs out of the cave and spots the fuse burning down. As he hops up, Carnaby tackles him. They roll away and the bomb explodes.
Kita!
Rubble covers the cave opening. Recovering, Carnaby grabs a vase.
You managed to be more trouble than I expected. I'll just take care of you myself.
As he raises the vase, a stone shatters it.
Oh, now you done it. Gone and made us mad.
Milo's friends stand in front of the rubble pile. Cloudy canine spirits appear as dust swirls around them. Dozens of pairs of red eyes look down at Carnaby.
What is this?
Retribution.
The spirits race in a circle around Carnaby. A funnel of dust lifts him off the ground. His body glows to a bright flash. The dusty man shape falls to the ground and billows into the shape of the red-eyed coyote. As it bounds upward, the spirits circle around Milo and his friends, crowding in close.
Anyone out here got a doggy bone?
Two canine spirits wait beside Carnaby's pack. More spirits part as Milo steps forward. Milo takes the original vase out of Carnaby's pack and sets it on an adobe shelf. As he returns to his friends, Chikashi appears from a cloud of dust surrounded by coyote spirits.
What happened to Carnaby?
He is with us now. You seem like good people. I'm sorry. The secrets of the ancient ancestors must remain a secret. You will not be allowed to leave.
Wind blows his long black hair and his eyes glow.
Chikashi, we also carry a great secret. Thus we can keep yours as well.
What is this secret? Prove to me that it is as great as what you see around you.
Sweet shakes his head. Molt looks down sadly.
We can't.
Very well. You have decided your fate.
The funnel of canine wind swirls around them. Milo clutches Kita tightly, and Sweet hangs onto Audrey. As they raise off the ground, Mole grabs Abby. The funnel glows to a bright flash. Milo's clenched eyes open. He and the others stand atop the thin butte with a calm pastel sunset behind them. Abby licks Mole.
If you had told me your secret, I would have known I couldn't trust you with mine.
It was a trick question.
Must be the coyote in me. Kida of Atlantis, you and I are not so different. Your people touch the corners of the globe, teaching and healing, doing great good.
But they also did great harm, almost destroying the world and themselves. My father feared the temptation to abuse our power would be too great, so he hid it away.
The secret you carry is neither good nor bad. A strong leader must have the wisdom to know when to share that knowledge.
It would be wonderful if my people did not need to remain hidden. To have them walk the surface of the world again?
It is your choice.
The spirits circle around Chikashi and he turns into dust. The canine spirits fade as they fly away.
Whoa! That was impressive.
I'd have been more impressed if Chikashi had dropped us off on the ground.
At the mansion.
A winter thunderstorm?
It's strange, all right. Started early this morning, but I guess you had your share of weird weather in the southwest.
I was okay, except for how I keep finding sand everywhere.
I could go for some warm weather by now. Maybe get a tan. Sorry I missed it.
Oh, no you are not. There were dust doogies everywhere. But I did find this very tasty bowl.
Well, Mr. Whitmore, Kita and I had better be going because...
Atlantis is waiting. I know. Just as well.
What?
We had a break-in last night.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. But it burns me that someone could waltz right in here and steal something right off my wall. An ancient Norwegian spear. Kind of a fancy old letter opener.
What you needed was a glass case to protect it.
In a flashback.
He must have come in the middle of the night. By the tracks I found, he had some kind of dog with him.
Crossing the snow with a wolf, a Norse Viking with an eye patch points. Twin ravens fly off and swoop down through the mansion's chimney. One hops on the front door handle, opening it.
The real strange thing is, near as I can tell, there's no sign of forced entry.
The Viking follows the wolf in.
Whoever it was knew exactly what they were looking for and helped themselves.
The gray-bearded Viking spots the spear on the wall. He takes it down and strikes the floor with the spear. Lightning courses over it.
With the spear of destiny, shall I, Odin, king of the northern gods, end this world?
Atlantean symbols travel up the spear.
Why would someone take an old spear when there's so much other junk around? Oh, don't get me wrong, it's all good junk.
I'm more interested in these scorch marks on the floor. Like lightning struck here.
Abby!
Oh, it cannot be the lightning. See for yourself, there's no hole in the roof.
No black powder. Not explosives.
Fire did not fall from the sky in Atlantis like it does here. I do not like it.
Yeah, me neither. Mr. Whitmore, I'm thinking that wasn't any ordinary spear, was it?
Do I own anything that's ordinary? Regardless, I do have a good idea who took it. The man's name is Erik Hellstrom. Son of a gun was a fierce competitor of mine. Built a shipping empire with cruise liners. When he bought the biggest dang castle in the old country and named it Asgard, the press dubbed him the modern Odin. Yeah, he liked being treated as a god, and he lived like one. Until the stock market crash sank his company. He lost his money, his power, and I think his mind. Hadn't heard from him till he phoned last week, desperately trying to convince me to sell the spear to him, raving about Ragnarok.
What is Ragnarok?
Doomsday, in the old Norse myths.
But why did Mr. Hellstrom want the spear?
Seems to me I remember something about a spear in the Shepherd's Journal.
Milo flips pages.
I found it. Gnachnir.
Zendait!
No. Gnachnir was the name of an Atlantean spear. The spear Hellstrom stole from Whitmore was the same spear. An Atlantean spear.
Weapons of Atlantis contain untold power.
If the myths are right, that's an understatement. At Ragnarok, the final night of the world, Odin will use the spear to summon the forces of chaos and destruction. He's gonna use the spear to bring about Ragnarok.
Armageddon.
Judgment Day.
The end of the world, Mabelmoch. The end of Atlantis. Of everything. My father foresaw this.
Your father was trying to save his empire, Kida. This guy's just frosted because he's in the poorhouse.
Frosted? It's Iceland, you see.
So, if Hellstrom is going to be stopped, it looks like you're going to Iceland.
Why can't Ragnarok be in Miami? You know, nice warm place. I'm never going to get a tan.
As the others leave, Kida remains at the table.
Kida?
Milo, my father knew the power of Atlantis would be abused like this. As king, it was his responsibility to do as he saw fit. Perhaps it is the same with Hellstrom.
Yeah, but Hellstrom gave himself this crown, and he isn't trying to save anybody. And that's a big difference.
A cargo plane flies through a raging snowstorm. Inside, Audrey pilots, watching windshield wipers clear the glass. As the plane trembles, Mole hides under a blanket.
We ought to be nearing Iceland. And that name ain't just for show.
With any luck, this weather will lighten up.
Oh, we should not be flying in such a storm. We'll crash. We are too high above the dirt.
You know, the weather hasn't let up since Hellstrom stole that spear. I wonder if...
Coincidence, Milo. Take over, Vinny. I mean, come on! The old gods affecting the weather?
Well, there was that Indian wind god, spirit, whatever, Kragan. Yeah, the Kragan might have been a god. Maybe not.
Oh, Vinny!
As Vinny releases control, Audrey jumps back in the pilot seat.
And that big Atlantis crystal? That was kind of like a god. All I'm saying, we see a lot of strange stuff. I'm just being open-minded.
Well, you let go of my plane that way, and I'll toss your open mind right into that soup.
But we are over land now. Good, solid land, yes?
Relax, Mole. We've been over Iceland for minutes. The land's as solid as... You're gonna want to take a look at this.
A castle and its icy grounds float high above a mountain.
Hellstrom's castle? What did you call it?
Asgard. Home of the gods.
This is the power of the spear.
That's what I call home improvement.
Look out! We'll crash! We'll crash!
Relax. We're not gonna crash into any mountain. Unless it stands up!
An ice giant rises from a mountain and swats at the plane. Audrey swerves away.
You missed us!
No! That thing would have been a god.
The giant blows icy breath at the plane. Ice freezes the engine solid.
Buckle up! We're going down!
Abby hops into Milo's jacket. Milo squeezes the seatbelt closed around them. Audrey strains to hold the plane steady. As the plane nosedives through the falling snow, Audrey and Vinny watch sternly ahead. A mountain looms in the windshield. Mole hides back under his blanket. The plane dips down a snowy ravine. It pitches and tilts, then lands on its belly. Milo's books scatter as the plane slides through the snow and rams into a snow-covered boulder, nose first.
Piece of cake.
As the group stands in the snow, Mole kisses a rock.
Oh, my beautiful land.
I am sorry for your flying machine, Audrey.
Easy come, easy go.
Look at the bright side. We're alive.
but we're not exactly getting a warm welcome.
Through the snowfall, the ice giant stomps closer. Milo grabs Abby. Vinny fires a rocket launcher.
Maybe I'll give him a present.
The rocket explodes on the giant's shoulder, knocking off its arm. Snowy winds swirl around the empty socket. A new arm appears.
Oh, great. More hocus pocus.
The group flees along the ravine. The ice giant rears back and breathes ice. In the castle, Milo and his group stand frozen in a thin coating of ice. The Spear of Destiny melts the ice with purple lightning.
I bid you welcome to the Hall of Odin.
Listen, Mr. Hellstrom, you've caught some bad breaks, but there's no reason to take it out on the world.
I know you.
It's the spear. Its power is one of destruction. It will destroy you, all of us.
Ha! I know you. You're the trickster. Loki, you seek the power of my spear.
No!
You'll not trick me.
The lightning knocks Milo into Kita's arms. As the others rush up, Milo waves them back.
Stop, Mr. Hellstrom! My lord, Odin, I know the power of your spear. The same power almost destroyed my father.
Father?
He eyes her.
Of course. Brunhilde, my daughter, my Valkyrie, you've come to rule the new world at my side.
No, I am not your daughter, but I do care about you.
Kida grabs the spear and pole vaults away. The wolf knocks her into a wall and she falls unconscious. Hellstrom uses the spear.
Kida!
Neither man nor god will stop Ragnarok. I cast thee out of Asgard to your doom.
As the floor crumbles, Milo and his friends fall away. Outside, Vinny grabs a ledge and holds up Milo and Abby. Audrey grabs a root and Mole's collar.
Do not talk me! You could lay off the eclairs, you know. I cannot help it! It's come-filling!
The hole fills in above Vinny.
Mole, we need you up here!
Go away! I am praying!
Mole, we got one chance! We need you to dig!
Mole stays!
Mole!
Oh, fine! I will come!
He climbs them.
It is always Mole that saves the day.
Hey, watch it! They'll make me sorry I saved you.
It could seem that you are not any skinnier, Milo. Perhaps you should eat more eclairs.
Get on with it!
You know, I'm not used to this going up. As a digger, I dig down, deep into the earth. Silly, of course, you may have noticed I'm rather afraid of heights and...
Dig!
On Vinny's shoulders, Mole digs with his pickaxe. Inside, Kida wakes wearing Viking armor and sitting on Hellstrom's throne. The twin ravens peer down at her.
You see? You are a warrior born, my Brunhilde. My daughter.
I am not your daughter. I am Kiragakash, Queen of Atlantis. What have you done with my friends?
I cast them out, Brunhilde, into the abyss below.
No!
Mole pops up.
It could not be helped.
He gives Kida a thumbs up.
We must go, daughter. The Chaos Lord of Fire must be awoken before sundown. Today must be Ragnarok.
Yes. Let us leave. Quickly.
As Kida escorts Hellstrom out, Mole hops from beneath the floor. Milo peers out a thin window. Hellstrom and Kida fly from the floating castle.
What do you see?
He's using the spear to carry them to the volcano.
What else is out there?
His 100-foot bodyguard. And I see our only way out. This big wooden door. If we can find a way to open it...
The door blows off its hinges. Vinny stands in the doorway.
Just call me the doorman.
So we can get out, but we still can't go anywhere.
We are trapped. What are we to do? Ride this door down the stairs like a ski jump?
Milo smiles. Mole looks to the others.
Oh, no. No, 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 no!
They all slide down the castle stairs on the door. It sails away from the floating castle and lands on a far snowbank. Milo adjusts his glasses as they jostle along. Abby's tongue hangs out of his mouth. Mole nearly falls off.
I believe that we should all lean.
Move over, Mole. I'll pilot this thing.
Move over where?
Everybody, lean left.
Mole leans right.
No, your other left!
They slide toward the giant. As the monster blows its icy breath, they speed between its legs. It marches after them with crushing steps. As they hit a bump, Milo falls off the door and holds on to the back edge.
Ah! Pull me up!
No, Milo, we could use you like a rudder.
Milo looks at his lanky legs dragging behind the sled. Vinny tosses a bundle of lit dynamite at the giant. The monster steps on it and it explodes. As the sled zips past, the giant hops after them on one leg. It falls, narrowly missing Milo.
Yeah, he's gonna have a limp after that one.
In a domed cavern, Hellstrom leans on the crystal-tipped spear. As he stares into the pit of boiling lava, Kida approaches behind him.
Hellstrom, you must listen to me. My father.
Yes?
No, my real father. He hid away this power so it could not be used for destruction. It was to be used for love, for life, for all that is good. Hellstrom, stop this madness, I beg you. Use this power to heal the world.
Brunhilde, that's exactly what I intend to do. I alone am destined to remake it and rule over it anew. To begin again, I must destroy what is.
No, you cannot.
Kida!
Kida reaches for the spear. Hellstrom swats her away.
You'll not stop me, Loki! No! Ragnarok!
He points the spear at the lava and energy courses out. The molten rock bubbles up. A giant horned flaming demon rises from the lava. Milo and his friends watch helplessly. A windy blast from the creature knocks them all back. The demon crouches in the lava, waiting. As Hellstrom stands, Milo rushes him. Hellstrom whirls around and Milo stops at the point of the spear.
Say your goodbyes to this world and herald in my new order.
Kida grabs the spear shaft and Milo jumps on Hellstrom. The wolf advances on Audrey and Vinny. Abby charges forward. The animals roll and Abby falls in the lava pit. Milo wrestles Hellstrom for the spear.
Even at the end, the forces of darkness would thwart the king of the gods.
You're not the king of anything, Hellstrom. You're a boat builder.
The demon watches intently. Vinny and Audrey back the wolf away with stones. Abby bites its tail from the lava. It runs off, smoking. Abby crawls out, cooling quickly. Mole shields himself from the twin ravens. Abby chases the ravens away. The demon snarls as Milo and Hellstrom each try to gain control of the spear. Lightning courses over the shaft between them. The spear lands near Kida. The demon plucks it up. It flies out of the cavern in a burst of flame.
There now! Ragnarok approaches. It is I, Odin, who shall stand triumphant!
You really think you're still in charge? Those two are done taking orders.
They escort Hellstrom away. Outside, the fire demon bursts from the ground. The ice giant strides toward it. Flicking its long tail, the demon plants the spear in the ground. Both giants grab hold of the now enlarged spear. The demon shoots fire into the sky and it pulses outward.
And the Fire Lord will set the sky ablaze. And the earth will become as ice as a new age dawns.
So, Milo, you got a plan? Just thought I'd ask.
Wait a second. I do have a plan.
An explosion sends a snowy slope sliding into the fire demon. It snarls angrily.
Now a little heat.
Vinny pushes a demolition plunger and lava spits up from the ground. Steaming, the ice giant rears up angrily. The giants bump into each other.
It's working!
Oh, now they're ticked.
The monsters send elemental blasts at each other. Steam surrounds them as they battle. The spear lands in the snow and shrinks to normal size.
The spear!
I will get it!
Kida runs forward and yanks up the spear. The giants march toward her. Kida backs away.
Vinny, We need another bomb!
I'm fresh out.
The crystal at Kida's neck glows, followed by the head of the spear. Energy dances along the shaft. Kida holds it aloft. The giants hesitate as the castle floats over them. Kida calmly lowers her arms, bringing the castle down on their heads. She collapses in the snow.
Kida!
I am all right, Milo.
My Asgard, my kingdom, no!
Give him a while. Let him mourn his kingdom. Then we'll get him to a hospital where maybe he can be helped.
And as for that thing, I'm thinking you should put it in a safe. Like now. Maybe with some chains. And locks, big ones.
I have a better place for this spear.
In Atlantis, the citizens gather on the circular landing pad. Milo waits in the middle. Kida descends steps to join him, carrying the spear. Milo's friends smile as she passes.
I learned many things from your world. Most of all, I think I now know my father better.
My father was only protecting us and the world above when he hid the heart of Atlantis. I understand that now.
Kida, you can't hide the crystal again.
She raises an eyebrow.
Yo, sorry, sort of ruining the moment there, but...
But my father was wrong.
He thought mankind would use the power of the crystal for destruction. But look around you. The heart of Atlantis has let us rebuild our city.
And I saw how the knowledge of Atlantis touched a tribe of surface people and made them great healers and teachers. The brightest light is worth nothing if hidden in a cave. I do not want the legacy of Atlantis to be the destruction of its civilization.
Kida looks fondly at the spear and at Milo.
Let us share our light with the world!
Lightning courses over the spear and Kida places it in the center of the landing pad. Blue energy travels along decorative grooves in the stone. The glow shines on the Atlanteans' dark faces. Mystical energies flutter Kida's hair and clothing. Milo's friends shield their eyes as a beam of light shoots upward to the floating crystal. The stone faces spin faster around it. The white-haired Atlanteans gape up at it. Beams shoot out at the colossal guardian statues and charge them with power. Their eyes glow with blue Atlantean energy. The beams strike the many statues along the rim of the city's falling water. The guardian's hands clap together, then spread wide, leaving a crackling shield of energy. The energy expands out between the statues and over them. Mole runs closer to Vinny as the force field inches up over the city, forming a massive dome. Milo's smile fades. He rushes to catch Kida as the spear dips into the sky, heading for the crystal. A distant view shows a bubble encasing Atlantis as a whole. Steam rises from the lava around the mountain-sized platform. Gravel on the landing platform bounces as the city jostles, and Mole hugs Abby. Citizens look around in wonder. The city platform lifts into the air. Lava stretches and falls away from the protective bubble as the city rises. On the ocean, seagulls soar over two boats. Fishermen empty a net onto the hold of one boat. As they close the hatch, several fish jump over the side onto the boat, then dozens more. One man bursts out of a pile of fish while another peeks over the side rail. He dodges a fish and looks at the water. Bubbles pop up on the surface. A glow shines over the boat and the fishermen back away. As the domed force field emerges from the water, the fishing boat rides a tidal wave away. Atlantis rises from the ocean within a cloud of steam. The fishermen stare open-mouthed as their boat settles. The protective force field around the city melts away. A guardian statue looms over the fishing boat and its arms lower. The light fades from its eyes and body. Streaks of light break through the clouds. As the steam parts and vanishes, the sun shines down on Atlantis and its people. The Atlanteans cheer. Vinny happily puts on sunglasses, and Abby runs in circles, then hops up onto Mole. Two fish flyers glide by the fishing boat and receive happy smiles from the fishermen. Milo and Kida gaze into each other's eyes. A young girl stands before them.
What is that light, Queen Kida? Is it a crystal?
No, child. It is the sun.
Milo kisses Kida's cheek. Two Atlantean men kiss Packard's cheeks.
I think I swallowed my gum.
The world was never the same after that day. It was much, much better.
Our view pulls away from Atlantis and its surrounding water. Two stone guardians stand tall in the sunlight. A fish flyer zooms between them. Cut to black. Audio description by WGBH with funding from Disney. Voiced by Shane Mendes.
Thank you.